When all Israel saw that the king had not listened to them, the people answered the king, "We have no portion in David, no share in Yishai's son. To your tents, O Israel! Now look to your own house, O David." So all Israel returned to their homes. But Rehoboam continued to reign over the Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah. King Rehoboam sent out Hadoram, who was in charge of the forced labor, but the Israelites pelted him to death with stones. Thereupon, King Rehoboam hurriedly mounted his chariot and fled to Jerusalem. Israel, the northern kingdom, has been in revolt against the house of David to this day. Listen in as we unpack the story about the divided kingdom, the nation of Israel, once one nation, ruled with King David, and then under Solomon became two nations, Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom. Listen in as we unpack this. Welcome to the 1 Year Audio Bible Podcast. Today is July 24th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Numbers 29, 1 to 20. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a sacred occasion. You shall not work at your occupations. You shall observe it as a day when the shofar is sounded. You shall present a burnt offering of pleasing odor to Hashem, one bull of the herd, one ram, and 7 yearling lambs without blemish. The meal offering with them, choice flour with oil mixed in, shall be 3/10 of a measure for a bull, 2/10 for a ram, and 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. And there shall be 1 goat for a sin offering to make expiation in your behalf, in addition to the burnt offering of the new moon with its meal offering and the regular burnt offering with its meal offering, each with its libation as prescribed, offerings by fire of pleasing odor to Hashem. On the 10th day of the same 7th month, you shall observe a sacred occasion when you shall practice self-denial. You shall do no work. You shall present to Hashem a burnt offering of pleasing odor, 1 bull of the herd, 1 ram, 7 yearling lambs, see that they are without blemish. The meal offering with them of choice flour with oil mixed in shall be 3/10 of a measure for a bull, 2/10 for the 1 ram, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. And there shall be 1 goat for a sin offering, in addition to the sin offering of expiation, and the regular burnt offering with its meal offering, each with its libation. On the 15th day of the 7th month, you shall observe a sacred occasion. You shall not work at your occupations. 7 days you shall observe a festival of Hashem. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering by fire of pleasing odor to Hashem, 13 bulls of the herd, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs. They shall be without blemish. The meal offerings with them of choice flour with oil mixed in shall be 3/10 of a measure for each of the 13 bulls, 2/10 for each of the 2 rams, and 1/10 for each of the 14 lambs. And there shall be 1 goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libation. 2nd day, 12 bulls of the herd, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs without blemish. The meal offerings and libations for the bulls, rams, and lambs in the quantities prescribed, and 1 goat for a sin offering, in addition to the regular burnt offering, its meal offering, and libations. 3rd day, 11 bulls, 2 rams, 14 yearling lambs without blemish. Second Chronicles 11:1-13:22. When Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he mustered the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 picked fighting men, to make war with Israel in order to restore the kingdom to Rehoboam. But the word of Hashem came to Shemaiah, the man of Hashem, Say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel and Judah and Benjamin, thus says Hashem, you shall not set out to make war on your kinsmen. Let every man return to his home, for this thing has been brought about by me. They heeded the words of Hashem and refrained from marching against Jeroboam. Rehoboam dwelt in Jerusalem and built fortified towns in Judah. He built up Bet Lechem and Etam and Tekoa and Beth Zur and Sako and Adullam and Gath and Marishah and Ziph and Adoram and Lachish and Azekah and Zorah and Ajalon and Hebron, which are in Judah and in Benjamin, as fortified towns. He strengthened the fortified towns and put commanders in them, along with stores of food, oil, and wine, and shields and spears in every town. He strengthened them exceedingly, thus Judah and Benjamin were his. The Kohanim and the Leviim from all their territories throughout Israel presented themselves to him. The Leviim had their pasture lands and their holdings and had set out for Yehuda and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had prevented them from serving Hashem, having appointed his own Kohanim for the shrines, goat demons, and calves which he had made. From all the tribes of Israel, those intent on seeking the God of Israel followed them to Jerusalem to sacrifice to God of their fathers. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah and supported Rehoboam, son of Solomon, for 3 years, for they followed the ways of David and Solomon for 3 years. Rehoboam married Mahalath, daughter of Jeremoth, son of David, and Abigail, daughter of Eliab, son of Yishai. She bore him sons, Jeuth, Sheremiah, Shemariah, and Zaham. He then took Maachah, daughter of Absalom. She bore him Aviah, Attai, Ziza, and Shelomith. Rehoboam loved Maachah, daughter of Absalom, more than his other wives and concubines, for he took 18 wives and 60 concubines. He begot 28 sons and 60 daughters. Rehoboam designated Aviah, son of Maachah, as chief and leader among his brothers, for he intended him to be his successor. He prudently distributed all his sons throughout the regions of Judah and Benjamin, and throughout the fortified towns. He provided them with abundant food, and he sought many wives for them. When the kingship of Rehoboam was firmly established, and he grew, he abandoned the teaching of Hashem, he and all Israel with him. In the 5th year of King Rehoboam, King Shishak of Egypt marched against Jerusalem, for they had trespassed against Hashem. With 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen and innumerable troops who came with him from Egypt, Libyans, Sukites, and Cushites, he took the fortified towns of Judah and advanced on Jerusalem. Then Navi Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and the officers of Judah who had assembled in Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said to them, thus said Hashem, you have abandoned me, so I am abandoning you to Shishak. Then the officers of Israel and the king humbled themselves and declared, Hashem is in the right. When Hashem saw that they had submitted, the word of Hashem came to Shemaiah, saying, since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but will grant them some measure of deliverance, and my wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. They will be subject to him, and they will know the differences between serving me and serving the kingdoms of the earth. King Shishak of Egypt marched against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house of Hashem, and the treasures of the royal palace. He took away everything. He took away the golden shields that Solomon had made. King Rehoboam had bronze shields made in their place and entrusted them to the officers of the guard who guarded the entrance to the royal palace. Whenever the king entered the house of Hashem, the guards would carry them and then bring them back to the armory of the guards. After he had humbled himself, the anger of Hashem was averted, and he did not destroy him entirely. In Judah too, good things were found. King Rehoboam grew strong in Jerusalem and exercised kingship. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city Hashem had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to establish his name there. His mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. He did what was wrong, for he had not set his heart to seek Hashem. The deeds of Rehoboam, early and late, are recorded in the chronicles of Navi, Shemaiah, and Iddo the seer in the manner of genealogy. There was continuous war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. His son Avia succeeded him as king. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, Avia became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Michalu, daughter of Uriel of Gina. There was war between Avia and Jeroboam. Avia joined battle with a force of warriors, 400,000 picked men. Jeroboam arrayed for battle against him, 800,000 picked men, warriors. Avia stood on top of Mount Zemaraim in the hill country of Ephraim and said, "Listen to me, Jeroboam and all Israel. Surely you know that God of Israel gave David kingship over Israel forever to him and his sons by a covenant of salt." Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had been in the service of Solomon, son of David, but he rose up and rebelled against his master. Riffraff and scoundrels gathered around him and pressed hard upon Rehoboam, son of Solomon. Rehoboam was inexperienced and faint-hearted and could not stand up to them. "Now you are bent on opposing the kingdom of Hashem, which is in the charge of the sons of David, because you are a great multitude and possess the golden calves that Jeroboam made for you as gods. Did you not banish the Kohanim of Hashem, the sons of Aaron and the Leviim, and like the peoples of the land appoint your own Kohanim, your own priests? Anyone who offered himself for ordination with a young bull of the herd and seven rams became a Kohen of no gods. As for us, Hashem is our God, and we have not forsaken him. The Kohanim who minister to Hashem are the sons of Aaron, and the Leviim are at their tasks. They offer burnt offerings and smoke each morning and each evening, and the aromatic incense, the rows of bread on the pure table. They kindle the golden menorah with its lamps burning each evening, for we keep the charge of Hashem our God while you have forsaken it. See, Hashem is with us as our chief, and his Kohanim have the trumpets for the sounding blasts against you, O children of Israel. Do not fight God of your fathers, because you will not succeed." Jeroboam, however, had directed the ambush to go around and come from the rear. Thus, the main body was in front of Judah while the ambush was behind. When Judah turned around and saw that the fighting was before and behind them, they cried out to Hashem, and the Kohanim blew the trumpets. The men of Judah raised a shout, and when the men of Judah raised a shout, Hashem routed Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. The Israelites fled before Judah, and Hashem delivered them into their hands. Abijah and his army inflicted a severe defeat on them. 500,000 men of Israel fell slain. The Israelites were crushed at that time, while the people of Judah triumphed because they relied on the God of their fathers. Abijah pursued Jeroboam and captured some of his cities, Bet El with its dependencies, Jeshanah with its dependencies, and Ephraim with its dependencies. Jeroboam could not muster strength again during the days of Abijah. Hashem struck him down and he died. But Abijah grew powerful. He married 14 wives and begat 22 sons and 16 daughters. The other events of Abijah's reign, his conduct and his acts, are recorded in the story of the Navi Iddo. Abijah slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. His son Asa succeeded him as king. The land was untroubled for 10 years. Romans 8:22-39. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yes, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Psalm 18:37-50. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For you have girded me with strength to the battle. You have subdued under me those that rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people, and you have made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves to me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Yes, you lift me up above those that rise up against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto you, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance gives he to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. Proverbs 19:27-29. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorns judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. I want to speak to you today from our reading from 2 Chronicles 11 through 13. And actually, I'm going to backtrack a little bit and go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 10. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 10, we see a kingdom split. Jeroboam leads the 10 tribes of the north, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, leads the 2 tribes of the south, Judah and Benjamin. And so Israel comes before Jeroboam, the new king, and they say, hey, can you lighten up our burden? We have a heavy tax burden. Could you lighten up our burden? So when Jeroboam consults the elders, they say, you know, if you do that, if you're kind to them, then you will have their loyalty and their faithfulness. But then he also consults his peers, and his peers give him some very bad advice. They say, you should make the burden even heavier. And so he answers to them a day later and says, I will make your yoke heavy and I will add to it. My father flogged you with whips, but I'll flog you with scorpions. And so Jeroboam, the leader of the 10 tribes of the north who put this request before him, in verse 16, chapter 10, verse 16, when all Israel, that is the northern kingdom, saw that the king had not listened to them, the people answered the king, we have no portion in David, no share in Yishai's son. To your tents, O Israel. Now look to your own house, O David. So all Israel returned to their homes. And that is the kingdom split. The nation of Israel was split right down the middle between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And so in verse 6, chapter 10, verse 6, it says, King Rehoboam took counsel with the elders who had served during the lifetime of his father, and he said, what answer should I give to these people? The Israel Bible commentary to this verse reads as follows. Upon assuming the throne after his father's death, Rehoboam is approached by representatives of the nation who request an easing of the tax burden that had been placed upon them by King Solomon. Rehoboam first consults the elders who had advised his father, but not liking the counsel they gave, he instead turns to the young people, his peers, his contemporaries. This was a breach of the principle, ask your father, he will inform you, your elders, they will tell you. Rehoboam follows the advice of his young friends, and this leads to the split in the kingdom, setting the 10 tribes of the kingdom of Israel on a very negative path of idolatry and sin. Had Rehoboam appreciated the meaning and importance of history and tradition, instead of trying to assert himself and his reign over the nation, much evil might have been averted. Continuing on into chapter 11, Rehoboam retreats back to Jerusalem and he mounts up a fighting force of fighting men. And he gets ready to go on the attack against the northern kingdom, against Jeroboam and the 10 tribes of the north. And in verse 3, it says, say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel and Judah and Benjamin. This is Shemaiah, a man of God, a prophet. And God is telling Shemaiah what to tell Rehoboam the king. So this is what Shemaiah's instructions were from the Lord. Thus says Hashem, you shall not set out to make war on your kinsmen. Let every man return to his home, for this thing has been brought about by me. They heeded the words of Hashem and refrained from marching against Jeroboam. The Israel Bible commentary to this verse reads as follows. Though the kingdom has split and 10 tribes have rejected Rehoboam and the house of David, God does not want there to be a civil war between the two kingdoms. He reminds the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin that despite the rift, the members of both kingdoms are brothers, and they should therefore treat each other with peace and brotherhood. The split in the kingdom is not ideal, and it pains Hashem to see different members of the nation of Israel at odds with each other. Instead, he longs for the time when once again one king shall be king of them all. Never again shall they be two nations, and never again shall they be divided into two kingdoms. From Ezekiel 37, verse 22. With the establishment of the state of Israel, the ingathering of the exiles, and the return of some of the ten tribes, we are beginning to witness the miraculous fulfillment of the unity between the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. And then finally, as we get into chapter 13, I want to zoom in on chapter 13, verse 8. Now you are bent on opposing the kingdom of Hashem, which is in the charge of the sons of David, because you are a great multitude and possess the golden calves that Jeroboam made for you as gods. The Israel Bible commentary to this verse reads as follows. Abijah, who is now the king of the southern kingdom, he succeeded Rehoboam. Abijah understands that the reason he has arisen to the throne is to serve God. He tells Jeroboam that he rules the kingdom of Hashem, as the kings of Judah are from the line of David, and they maintain the service of God in the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, in Jerusalem. Abijah sees himself as the emissary of the Lord, the caretaker of his people, who is expected to lead them in the service of Hashem. Because he understands this, God grants him victory, the triumph which was denied to his father Rehoboam, who was motivated by pride, not piety. This is an example of how success in the land of Israel is dependent upon the recognition of God, of Hashem, as Asa declares in the next chapter, while the land is at our disposal because we turned to Hashem, our God. That's all I have for today, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.